Table, we have a bunch of CDs. It says New Heights Christian Church Worship Songs 2005. Anyways, it is a collection of different people within the church. We actually recorded the choir on a couple of numbers and different worship team members. And we're making it available. No, I don't need to see that. For everybody. It is for everybody. It's to raise support for missions. But really, if anybody wants it, they can take it. If they want to support missions, they can. It really doesn't matter. I don't want to sell it. I want you guys to have it. There's lots of copies there. And so please feel free to take one.
Next. You can find yourself a new job here.
I'm very thankful to have Diana back home after some surgery on Tuesday, and so she's actually not home now. She's right here, so I'm just on Father's Day. I'm very thankful to have her back.
Yes, thank you.
Praise the Lord for that. Raise your hands. I'm holding the mic. Praises. Opportunities.
Well. You've noticed Jackie and Homer haven't been here for the last few weeks. He's having a real bad time with arthritis, I guess, so you can just remember him.
Lord, we bring Homer to you this morning as he struggles with his health issues and arthritis. And Lord, please give relief and allow him to return with Jackie here to worship. In Jesus' name.
Well, it is Father's Day, and I have a wonderful father, and I thank God for him every day. And he has always been such an encouragement to me. I mean, all the time he tells me that he's proud of me, and he just pushes me to be better and to share my faith and go on mission trips. And I just praise God that he has blessed me with a wonderful father.
Yeah. Seems like just a little over a month ago you were saying something good about your mom. You say something good about both mom and dad. That's great. That's terrific. That's the way it should be.
Today is our anniversary. I'm grateful for my wife. We're going to take off after church and just have a nice day alone.
How many years?
I was there. It was 23. Wow. Move all down and check that marriage certificate. If you have not received in the mail the fold and files from my son Titus and his he and Stephanie's preparations to serve in missions, there's copies in the back table to follow that. Also, Friday afternoon, I received a call from my mom telling me about my cousin-in-law, who's a pastor in Tracy, California, and he was shot while he was watering the lawn of his church there in Tracy by an attempted hold-up robbery, and thankfully he survived the shooting. He was shot in the abdomen. He's not able to give his Father's Day sermon today. The prayer chain, those who are on the prayer chain have the information, I think, if it got out. I don't know. I didn't see it right away. So did it get out? Got out? Okay. There's also a newspaper article on the back telling about it, but keep Ray Brasher in mind, if you would. Thank you. Let's give thanks for God's provision. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are good, that you initiate a relationship with us. As undeserving as we are, as rebellious as we can be, yet you pursue us in love. Thanks that through your Holy Spirit you open our eyes to see just what a good deal it is for us to bow our knee and surrender to you, to humble ourselves, to repent of our sin, and to find then a relationship with you that sustains us. And even when you call us to let go of our grip on things that are in the way of what you want, thanks that you provide the desire to do that. Thanks that you give us eyes to see what really is important. And even today, as we look in your word, as we respond to your Holy Spirit, may we be willing to put aside those things that would distract us from full commitment to you. Receive our gifts and tithes as an expression of our love for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Craig, did everyone get a half sheet of paper? Okay. If anyone did not, raise your hand. Does everyone have a pen or pencil? If you do not, Craig will also equip you with a pen or pencil. Today from Psalm 34, a father's prayer, testimony, and instructions. The fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments states, "Honor your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." The Deuteronomy version of the fifth commandment adds a couple phrases worth noting. Honor your father and mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. As is the case with both of these added phrases, they bring additional emphasis to the commandment. So there's a redundancy in the Deuteronomy version. God gave the command to honor our fathers and mothers, and Moses highlights that this is a command. It's a command that God, from God, that is not to be ignored. When the Apostle Paul restates the commandment in his letter to the church in Ephesus, he highlights the promise that is attached to the command, even saying that this is the first commandment with a promise. Paul says, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." Now, it doesn't take much observation and listening to realize that we have a problem with this commandment. I say that we'd have a problem with this command even if all dads were worthy of honor. You see, I believe it is part of our sinful human nature to resist authority, even good, well-intentioned authority. So even if the fifth commandment said that we should only honor worthy fathers and mothers, we may still put up some resistance to this command. Now, I understand that some of you in this room have just cause to withhold honor from your fathers. They simply have done nothing to deserve honor. And it is not my intention to heap guilt on you this morning. I acknowledge the challenge that this holds for you on this day. At the same time, I believe it is important that we do the best we can to honor fathers. We at least must honor the God-given role fathers are to play in our lives. Still, for the most of us, we have much reason to honor our fathers today and throughout our lives. There once was a couple who lived with their only son, Conrad. They lived in a modest home at the edge of a great forest. Though they were not rich, they lived a comfortable and happy life together. One day, the man's father came to his home to live with the young couple. The old grandfather's eyes had grown dim, his ears nearly deaf, and his hands shook like leaves in the wind. When he ate, he was unable to hold his spoon without spilling food on the tablecloth and the floor. Often, bits of food would run out of his mouth, soiling his clothing. For months, the young couple discussed the irritating behavior of the old man. Finally, they set a table for him to eat in a corner of the kitchen. As he ate, he looked sadly at his family. When he spilt his food, he would sob. Finally, one day, the old man's trembling hands could no longer hold the glass bowl, and it fell to the floor, breaking into a dozen pieces. The woman scolded him and immediately went to the market, where she purchased a wooden bowl for the grandfather. As the days passed, the old man said very little as he sat in his corner eating out of his wooden bowl. Late in the fall, the father came home from a long day's work to find his son Conrad sitting in the middle of the floor, carving a block of wood. "What are you making, my young man?" asked the father. "It is a present for you and mommy," answered the child. "I am carving two wooden bowls so that you will have something to eat from when you live with me in your old age." The husband and wife looked at each other for a long time, and finally they began to weep. That evening, they moved the old grandfather back to the family table, and from that day on, he always ate with them. And they said nothing even when he spilled his food. See, honor is often given not because the person deserves it, but because God asks us to give it. His request may require a bit of creativity on our part, but we shouldn't be surprised if God helps us with that too as we seek to obey the fifth commandment. For starters, just make a list of what you have inherited from your dad for which you can be thankful. And always keep in mind that your dad, good or bad, is a sinner for whom Christ died. For God so loved your dad that he gave his one and only son, that if he would put his trust in him, would have eternal life. To pray for your dad's salvation is one of the most honoring things you can do for him. So I trust that you will find a way today to honor your father. Now, for several reasons, fatherhood is under attack today. It may well have started when we fathers failed to take our responsibilities seriously, when we replaced selflessness with selfishness, when we allowed our jobs to take priority over our relationships to God and family. We have acted in dishonorable ways and left ourselves open to ridicule. There's also a war that is waging that seems to have targeted fatherhood as well. We have social experiments attempting to show that fathers are unnecessary in the raising of children. Dr. Wade Horn and Tom Sylvester of fatherhood.org write, for example, Judith Stacy, a sociologist critical of fatherhood movement, argues, "Access to economic, educational, and social resources the quality and consistency of parental nurturance, guidance, and responsibility affect child development and welfare far more substantially than does the particular number and marital status of parents or the family structure in which children are reared. What Judith Stacy and others have, who have made similar arguments fail to acknowledge, however, is that it is the married two-parent family that is the family structure best equipped to provide children with these resources. Therefore, while some may cling to the idea that father absence per se, or in and of itself, does not matter, in the real world, fathers matter a great deal. Statements that family processes are more important than family structure are closer to truisms than to critical arguments. Therefore, while it is not a perfect measure, family structure is the best proxy measure we have for father involvement and provision of parental resources. If our society cares about its children, we must recognize the importance of married fatherhood. And even more importantly, we must reduce the high levels of fatherlessness that bode ill for our children and our nation's future. There's also a movement that's gaining momentum that is attempting to feminize men, urging them to act and think more like women and even beautify themselves more like women. David Blankenhorn, in an article entitled "The Vanishing Father," writes, "The new father ideal aims at greater androgyny, being neither distinguishably masculine or feminine. It suggests that good men are those who eschew or avoid many historically masculine traits, such as protecting and providing for wife and children, and cultivate historically feminine traits, such as emotional sensitivity and the nurturance of young children." Bill Barnwell, in his article, "The Feminization of Men," asks, "Whatever happened to the virtue of masculinity? It is long gone if today's popular culture is any indicator. There once was an era when a man was supposed to be a man. He looked like a man. He talked like a man. He acted like it. Not so anymore. Today, if you want to be an appealing, attractive male, then you had better feminize yourself, and feminize yourself quick." So not only is fatherhood being stripped of its masculine character, but men are being pressured to be more feminine. What a confusing picture we are providing for our young men as they look forward to their future. What does it mean to be a father anymore? Now, we may be a small congregation, but we can make a difference. There's a hole in our cultural bucket. It's been needing to be plugged for a long time. And it's getting bigger every day. And I believe that it can be filled with Christians who are for real, who live out their commitments, who put Jesus Christ first in everything. But if we Christians don't wake up soon and take our Christianity and our relationship with Jesus Christ seriously, our cultural bucket will be completely drained of any resemblance of our Christian heritage. Godly Christian fathers can turn the tide in this nation. Men and fathers who have the courage to live countercultural lives by not being embarrassed to carry Christ's name wherever they go. These are the ones who can model for their children and all of America's children what it looks like to be masculine and to be godly. Phil Calloway, an author who spoke at a Promise Keepers event in Canada recently and was heard on Focus on the Family broadcast just this past Thursday and Friday, said this: "If you want your child to love God, you love them first. If you want to model integrity, keep your promises. You want your child to say no to drugs? Start by clearing out the liquor cabinet. You want your son to be obedient? Be obedient to the still small voice of God. And if you want your life to be changed forever, have children." And if you had the opportunity to hear Focus on the Family Thursday or Friday, you know that Phil was full of humor. And it's worth checking out family.org and listening to the archives broadcast of those two. He then referenced two very well-known and powerful men who have influenced our culture significantly. He said, Nietzsche gave up on Christianity not because of a lack of evidence, but because of the lack of a role model who was real. Nietzsche's father was a minister, but he never connected with his son. Nietzsche once wrote of his dad, "Does that thing up there in the pulpit ever laugh or cry? Does he ever feel anything? Does what he preach ever find itself in real human experience?" And I got to tell you, I really relate to that question of what's going on up there in the pulpit. When I was a son, my dad was up in the pulpit. And I remember in high school wondering, is what he is excited about something that the people out here are excited about? That was what I was questioning. You see, words that I spoke at my dad's memorial service really fit. See, dad was the real deal. I learned integrity from my dad. He was no phony. He was genuine. I never wondered if he was just putting on a show on Sunday mornings. No, the life in Christ that he invited the congregation to was the very life that he was committed to living. And truly, his greatest joy was witnessing a person place his or her trust in our Savior. And so I find a bit of contrast, and I'm glad I have that contrast when I say, what was that guy up there in the pulpit doing? And sadly for Nietzsche, it wasn't a positive. Phil Calloway also mentioned the famous Beatles star John Lennon. It was the words of his son that struck so sharply. Julian Lennon, son of John Lennon, said this of his dad, "From my point of view, he was a hypocrite. Dad could talk about peace and love out loud to the world, but he could never show it to the people who supposedly meant the most to him, his wife and son. How can you talk about peace and love and have a family in bits and pieces? No communication, adultery, divorce. You can't do it, not if you're true and honest with yourself." See, Julian was abandoned by his father when he was 5. Only recently did he inherit a portion of the vast Lennon estate worth about $580 million. Might make up for some of his heartache, but I don't know. Julian said these words in Time magazine, "The only thing my dad taught me was how not to be a father." Calloway then goes on to tell his audience how they can be great fathers, successful fathers. He said, "I am convinced the best thing I can do for my children is to yield myself 100% to God. The best thing I can ever do for my home is yield myself completely to His control. I will consider myself a success when I'm walking close to Jesus every day, when I'm building a strong marriage, loving my kids, and performing meaningful work. I consider myself a success when I'm making others homesick for Jesus." I believe it's time for the men of New Heights to stake out their territory as godly, masculine men. It's time for the women of New Heights to cheer on our men, young and old, married or single, fathers or not, and applaud their efforts, however lacking in perfection that they may be, to make their walk with Christ preeminent in every aspect of their lives. And with that objective in mind, I have an assignment for all of you to embark on right now. You should have a half sheet of paper with 3 paragraphs from Psalm 34. Immediately below each paragraph is a heading. Those headings are for the new paragraphs you will write. I trust you can write them from the perspective of a dad. If you are a dad or a man, I suggest you write in your own words as though you were writing Psalm 34 from the perspective of a father. If you're a wife, you can paraphrase the words of Psalm 34 as how you would like your husband to speak these words. If you're a son or daughter, using the words of Psalm 34, rewrite them as if your dad were saying them to you, or as you would say them as a dad. And because of time constraints, you'll likely only be able to maybe do one paragraph paraphrase, maybe two. So select which of the headings you would like to first work on, one, two, or three, and then make these words of Psalm 34 personal. Now, before you begin, let me first read the first 14 verses, which covers the three paragraphs, and then we'll take several minutes to let you think and write. Heavenly Father, open up the meaning of Psalm 34 to each one here this morning as they do this exercise. Amen. Psalm 34, a psalm for all fathers. I will extol you, by the way, a hint. We sang a song, God is so good. That could be your paraphrase of this the first three verses right there. You put in your own. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. So a father's prayer is what I would like you to write after that. Think of dad praying these three verses at the next meal that you have together as a family. How would it look if dad blessed the Lord at all times? Illustrate how dad would always have praise on his lips. Okay? That's what we mean there. Verse 4, I sought the Lord and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him, and He delivers them. I encourage you to personalize this paragraph. How did you seek the Lord? Why did you? How did the Lord answer you? Whose faces have you seen that are radiant with forgiveness? Okay? A father's testimony. Then the third paragraph. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, and those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Here's an opportunity then to write a father's instructions. This paragraph's all about instructions being given by dad to his family. What does dad want to see happen in the lives of his family members? And how is dad going to do what he is teaching? Okay? So, take some time right now. Choose one of those paragraphs and see if you can't paraphrase it as though dad were speaking to you, or you are dad, and how you want to speak to your family. And if you do nothing else, at least pray for the men that are sitting in this room this morning. I would encourage you to complete this assignment at another time. But those who have already done a paragraph, is there one or two who would like to share it with us? How did you paraphrase it? Did you take the prayer, the testimony, or the instructions? Someone? Speak out real loud. Beautiful. Thank you. Is there another? Go ahead.
Father's prayer. I will make the Lord know He is great. I will praise God every hour. I will say God is all important. People will know God is a refuge from me. I will bring honor and glory to God. I will help you. And we will praise God together.
Thank you. Is there another? Go ahead. One more.
I wrote a father's instructions. I think that would be in Dad's words. Girls, always go to church and make God a priority, and you will be blessed just like our family is blessed. Girls, listen to me. I can teach you how to build and paint houses, but I want you to follow God and do His work. Do the right thing.
Beautiful. What a gift to Dad on Father's Day. As I see it, Psalm 34 is a psalm for all fathers. I started by asking, as I looked at this psalm, what is the central focus of a godly father's life? Is it not to be focused on his relationship with Almighty God? Yes. That is to be his central and primary focus at all times, morning, noon, and night, when he's young, middle-aged, or old. And with that in mind, this is the Father's prayer. And this is how I paraphrase the first three verses. I will honor the Lord at all times. Praise for him will continually flow from my lips, because from within my soul I am boasting of the Lord. All who are within my influence will hear me give my praises to him, and they will rejoice. My deepest longing is that my wife, my children, my extended family, and closest friends will join with me in promoting the greatness of the Lord. I invite them all to be like a choir as we hold our Lord's name high like a banner. And then this is the Father's testimony, verses 4 through 7. Family, here is my testimony. The Lord answered me when I called out to Him. When I was afraid, He released me from my fears. I was with others who were also full of fear, and they too called out to Him. He rescued them, and God gave them radiant and unashamed faces. I'm not embarrassed to tell you that I was in deep trouble. I felt alone and without any resources. So I literally cried out to the Lord. He heard me and rescued me from all my troubles. I want you to know that my life testifies to the fact that the angel of the Lord pitches his tent around those who honor the Lord and rescues them. Take courage, my children, my family. And then this is the Father's instructions and his desire for influence. And I just wrote this morning, and then what I added to this, skipping what you see up there, oh, Joyce, Titus and Stephanie, Johanna and Micah, Katie and Carl and Stephen, how I long that you will taste the goodness of God, that you will find our Lord to be an adequate refuge. As I have found, the Lord satisfies my deepest longings, and I want you to find that true as well. And I could go on. But that's what you can do with this psalm. Make it a prayer, make it what you would be saying, and let it be a part of you. Let it express your heart. Well, today is Father's Day. It's a day to honor fathers. It's a day for fathers to reaffirm their commitment to lead their families in godliness. And I want us to pray for our men today. They are being sent confusing messages by our culture, but God wants them to be men, masculine men, godly men, tender-hearted warrior men, men of vision, men of integrity, men of purity, men who work hard and model faithfulness and sacrificial giving. So join me and let's pray for our men. Father, thank you for the young boys, the young men, teenage boys, men, and soon-to-be married men, those who've been married for a long time, those who've been divorced, those who are alone, those who are old. Lord, would you give these men courage to carry your name wherever they go? When they're in the car alone, may their desire to honor you in their thoughts, in their actions and words. When they're at work, that they would have a great desire to be pleasing to you in the way they work, in the way they relate to their fellow workers, their bosses, their underlings. That they would desire to have your character. Lord, for the men who are husbands, who sometimes are irritated by little things in their wife, would you give them a renewal of their first love, that they would enjoy their wife even more, and that the irritations that seem to be in the way would just be able to be put aside as they yield their affections to you. For those men who are looking forward to a life of married life and possible fatherhood, Lord, would you remove this confusion that our culture gives them about what it means to be a dad, what it means to be a man, that they would have eyes to see your plan, your dreams for them, and that they would have courage to even go against what the culture is telling them and be godly men, faithful men, committed to fidelity in marriage, to raising their children and giving them the best, a God-honoring man. Lord, may this church be characterized by its host of men who are committed to following you, regardless the cost. Have your blessing on each one today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you.
Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.